Good morning, this is Bill Whitney with the CBS World News Roundup. In Western Canada, the Winter Games officially opened today with a colorful ceremony that could be obscured by the snow. Correspondent Mark Phillips is in Calgary.
After an 11,000-mile, 88-day trip across Canada, the Olympic torch will be carried into a Calgary football stadium today to begin the 15th Winter Olympic Games. They'll be the biggest Winter Olympics ever staged, with more countries participating, 58, more athletes, 1,700, and more money spent than ever before, about $1 billion. The games, modeled on the Los Angeles Olympic experience, with huge corporate sponsorship, will actually make money, which is more than can be said for some of the sponsors. ABC Television, which paid $309 million for the broadcast rights, expects to lose about $50 million. Following today's ceremony, though, the attention will turn to the winning and losing of Olympic medals and to the weather. Calgary is a town of notorious meteorological ups and downs. It can be 20 below zero here one day and up in the 50s the next after the warming Chinook wind blows in off the Rockies. Organizers have tried to make these games Chinook-proof by installing snow-making equipment on the ski mountain and moving the speed skating rink indoors. After a couple of mild days here, blizzard conditions are being forecast for today's ceremony. Still, that won't keep the 60,000 people away from the stadium or the millions from watching around the world to see if this Canadian cow and oil town can live up to its reputation for being able to throw a pretty good party. Mark Phillips, CBS News, Calgary.
The case of the USS Stark was brought to mind in the Persian Gulf today when one of Iraq's warplanes fired a cruise missile near a tanker convoy under U.S. escort. Margaret Rogg reports.
The Iraqi missile may not have been aimed at the U.S. convoy, but at 8 miles away, it apparently came too close for comfort, and the destroyer Chandler took the defensive measure of firing off two flares from its 5-inch guns. The incident is sure to add to the concern here over how Iraq carries out its air raids on Gulf shipping. For the American fleet, the example of the Stark is never far from mind. Iraq mistakenly hit the U.S. warship last May, killing 37 sailors. And for merchant mariners here, there may be a more recent example. It's not clear yet what hit the Danish ship Kate Maersk yesterday. The vessel was carrying oil from Saudi Arabia, one of Iraq's allies. But shipping officials here say preliminary evidence points to a missile fired by an Iraqi warplane. If so, it would not be the first time Iraq has inadvertently attacked neutral ships. In fact, one U.S. Navy officer here said recently he was equally concerned by the threat from both sides in the Gulf War, what he called Iranian terrorism and Iraqi errorism. Margaret Rock, CBS News, in the Gulf.
Iraq claims its warplanes have attacked two more tankers, what are referred to as very large naval targets near an Iranian oil terminal in the Gulf. It's coming up on 3.5 minutes past the hour.
It's the California Cavalcade, brought to you by Lincoln Mercury, the cars that are making news in California. Even new Californians are catching on.
Of course, the furniture's not right yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, how could the furniture from a 12-room house in Jersey look right in a Santa Monica bungalow?
A tool shed.
It's a gardener's cottage, Dad.
What did you pay for the tool shed?
See, when we came to California, we thought we'd have to pay big money for a fancy foreign car and probably rent.
Of course.
But it turns out people here are buying Mercury Topazes.
And then with the money we saved, we could afford the down payment on the home.
Tool shed.
The completely restyled Mercury Topaz helps spark the newest California car craze, buying American cars.
How much was the tool shed?
$800,000.
Come on outside and look at the Topaz, Vincent.
Come look at the sticker on the Topaz.
Walk off with the rake, dear.
Yes, Californians know a good deal when they see one. Mercury Topaz. Visit your Lincoln Mercury dealer now. See the cars that are making news in California.
On the day after Alexander Haig pulled out of the Republican presidential race and threw his support to Bob Dole, and just 3 days before the New Hampshire primary, the latest CBS News poll finds that Vice President Bush may no longer be the frontrunner. Since a survey earlier this week, Dole's support has gone from 27% to 32%, while support for Bush has dropped from 35% to 29%. The gap between the two is now less than the survey's error factor, which is 4 points. Among the Democrats, the poll shows little change, and in a very real sense, some of them face tough sledding. Eric Engberg reports.
Even a blinding snowstorm offered New Hampshire voters no peace from Democratic hopefuls who chased them like rabbits through the drifts. Paul Simon, battling to stay alive by finishing second here, trudged through city streets when the storm knocked out planned events.
Kevin, happy to see you. What are you and I doing out in this weather?
Few voters were around. Simon has turned to a tough negative advertising attack on Dick Gephardt, who seems to be his rival for second here.
On the issues important to our future, who can we trust?
Gephardt went looking for votes at a dog sled race in the North Country. The Simon Gephardt struggle now resembles a dog fight. The two are very close in the polls, their managers testy. Gephardt's called the Simon TV ad savage and willfully inaccurate and threatened retaliation.
I'm not going to do negative advertising, but I reserve the right to respond, and we'll see when enough is enough.
Simon said Gephardt's changes on the issues demanded a close look.
Are there any political, philosophical roots? Do you really have a sense of direction and purpose other than just winning an election?
The frontrunner, Michael Dukakis, could enjoy the blizzard. He wants as little movement as possible by opponents or voters between now and Tuesday. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
It's 6 minutes past the hour.
The look, the touch, the feel of genuine buttersoft imported Italian leather. This is the sofa you deserve. Ooh, lush and plush. The sofa features fully padded frame with high back design for extra comfort and support. This beautiful Italian, beautiful European leather sofa is grand opening sale priced, our lowest price ever, $588 complete at Furnishings 2000. It's the grand opening of Furnishings 2000, over 30 stores across California, now 9 Los Angeles area stores alone. And instant credit with your good credit, $1,500 on the spot. Furnishings 2000, don't miss it. You'll find us at 1234 Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica, 565 Tustin and Orange. You'll find us in Santa Monica, Orange, Pasadena, Fuente Hills, Santa Ana, Upland, Van Nuys, Artesian, San Bernardino. Furnishings 2000 for you.
The grand opening sale at Furnishings 2000 is on now through President's Day at 9 p.m.
Reagan is in California for a winter vacation, but before he loosens his tie, he's leaving Los Angeles for a side trip summit. Jacqueline Adams reports.
For 4 hours today, the lame duck presidents of the United States and Mexico will hold their sixth and final summit. Economic issues are expected to dominate. In his State of the Union speech last month, President Reagan called for an economic alliance with Mexico, similar to the free trade agreement just concluded with the Canadians. The Mexican government is said to be cool to the idea, but both sides today are expected to sign a new textile accord. Narcotics trafficking is the other major topic on the table today. The Mexicans blame the U.S. for not stemming the demand for drugs, and the U.S. blames Mexico because it's the largest source of marijuana and heroin and the third largest source of cocaine. Privately, White House officials predict there will be no major breakthroughs today, just a brief interlude south of the border before President Reagan travels to his Santa Ynez Valley ranch for the President's Day holiday. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, with the President in Los Angeles.
The boldness of the Southeast Asian drug trade is demonstrated by the size of a drug bust in Bangkok. Rick Fredrickson reports.
It took several days for customs authorities using chainsaws and iron bars to pry open hundreds of bales of rubber. By the time they finished late last night, Thai agents had made a world-class narcotics bust, confiscating almost 1.5 tons of high-grade heroin. Acting on a tip, officers intercepted the cargo at the Bangkok Harbor, where a freighter was scheduled to take the shipment to New York City. The Director General of Thailand's Customs Department claims that 2,816 pounds of heroin is the largest seizure in the world. A U.S. Embassy spokesman in Bangkok says the retail price, after being cut and sold on the streets of New York City, would exceed $2 billion. So far, officials here say one woman has been arrested in New York. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
If things had gone differently, Senator Joseph Biden might be campaigning in New Hampshire this weekend, but charges of plagiarism forced the Delaware Democrat to withdraw from the race, and this morning he finds himself at Walter Reed Hospital outside Washington, recovering from surgery. Pete Smith is a Biden spokesman.
Walter Reed tells us the procedure was successful. It corrected an aneurysm in an artery in the neck, which supplies blood to the brain.
The aneurysm, a ballooning of the artery, was originally diagnosed as a pinched nerve. Songwriter Frederick Lowe, whose collaboration with Alan J. Lerner produced the Broadway musicals Camelot and My Fair Lady, is hospitalized in Palm Springs, California. Lowe is 86. It's 10 past the hour.
CBS News, this is Mitchell Krause. 7 Democrats who would be president are battling it out in the final debate before Tuesday's New Hampshire primary. The fireworks promise to be lively as Missouri Congressman Richard Gephardt and Illinois Senator Paul Simon mud wrestle over the number 2 slot. The two men are ignoring frontrunner Michael Dukakis to trade swipes at each other. Walt Wheeler reports on the final weekend of campaigning as the candidates jockey for position.
We want Paul! We want Paul! We want Paul! chants and picket signs are the order of the day here in this part of Nashua. Some of the signs say Mike Dukakis for president. Others say Simon for president. Paul Simon is conducting a walking tour, which includes a visit to the Dukakis headquarters.
What's your name?
Jerry Engel.
Jerry, happy to see you.
Mitch Focus, Santa, good luck.
Mitch, thank you very, very much. Good to see you.
Happy to see you here.
Some of the Dukakis supporters are perfectly pleased to see Simon do well here.
What is your name?
From Newton Faye.
We hope you beat Gephardt, really.
Others want to pledge their loyalty to their candidate, the governor of neighboring Massachusetts, Michael Dukakis. Walt Wheeler for CBS News, Nashua, New Hampshire.
The Republicans down a candidate with the withdrawal of Alexander Haig debate tomorrow. The latest CBS News poll has Senator Robert Dole gaining on Vice President Bush. The two are now fighting for the lead in a race that's too close to call. President Reagan is in Mazatlan, Mexico, with an earshot of the carnival, the Mardi Gras there, but he's not there for fun or frivolity. Mr. Reagan is discussing, among other things, Central American policy and the illegal drug traffic in talks with President Miguel de la Madrid. Despite sharp disagreements, the sixth and probably last summit between the two leaders is expected to highlight improved cooperation between the U.S. and Mexico. Senator Alan Cranston predicts the days of Panamanian military leader Miguel Manuel Noriega are numbered. Testimony before a Senate subcommittee has linked Noriega with drug trafficking, money laundering, corruption, and assassinations. Cranston is a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, which will investigate the charges.
I believe that General Noriega, the strongman dictator in Panama, is on his way out as a result of pressures being brought both by the U.S. and by the people of Panama. Noriega says he wants U.S. troops out of Panama. I say Noriega will be out of Panama long before we are.
Cranston says he wants to document charges made this week that the CIA paid Noriega for his cooperation on intelligence matters. Delaware Senator Joseph Biden is reported to be awake, alert, and progressing satisfactorily after undergoing surgery yesterday. The Democrat is listed as seriously ill after surgeons at Washington's Walter Reed Army Medical Center successfully treated an aneurysm in an artery supplying blood to his veins. At 3 minutes after the hour, this is CBS News.
Okay, Harry, we're rolling.
Folks, stores with so-so President's Day sales may resort to screaming.
Can't hear ya.
But Sears sale is so big, we don't need to scream. Right now, save $60 on a Kenmore heavy-duty, large-capacity, permanent press washer-dryer pair. Washer $249, dryer $199.
Louder, pal.
Washer $249, dryer $199. Save $60.
Louder.
Don't miss Sears' big President's Day sale.
You're screaming.
I am.
There's more for your life.
Sale ends Saturday.
Oh, boy.
Kids love getting to the bottom of a bowl of soup. So for lunch, why not serve them some Campbell's vegetable soup in a sandwich? Campbell's vegetable gives them more than 50% of their daily requirement of vitamin A. So stir up the Campbell's.
Cause at the bottom of it all, soup is good food. Campbell's.
Let the games begin. The 1988 Winter Olympics opened in Calgary, Alberta, to a dazzling display of color and pageantry greeted by 60,000 spectators and blustery Arctic winds up to 60 miles an hour. But the fear of frostbite isn't cooling the enthusiasm. Business is booming just about everywhere in Calgary, including the All-Canadian Bar and Restaurant where Judy Chambers works.
Everyone's really, really, really excited, looking forward to meeting all kinds of new people. We've had a lot of foreigners come in to the bar lately. And it's really great. It's really interesting. And it's, I don't know, everybody's really pumped here.
Sad news from the nation's capital. Nelson Benton, a former CBS News correspondent, died this morning of a heart attack at Sibley Hospital in Washington. Benton joined CBS in 1960. Over the next 12 years, was posted in Dallas, New Orleans, Chicago, London, and Saigon. He was 63 years old. This is CBS News.